אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS Hebrew. Now we're joined by Joni Margulies, journalist for the Jerusalem Post, who recently published a moving and powerful piece about Israeli women giving birth amidst the Iranian rocket fire. Her article sheds light on the resilience of mothers, the bravery of medical teams, and the surreal reality of bringing new life into the world during times of war. Joni, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Yes, this is indeed your second time with us here on SBS Hebrew in Australia. Thank you so much for joining us. Firstly, you were a breaking news reporter for the Jerusalem Post, and now you're a correspondent. Hopefully, you've got a little bit more latitude. Joni, this is a really interesting article, I have to be honest. It caught my eye because I thought about this as the rockets were landing in Israel from Iran, and I was wondering how women were giving birth during these times, because obviously people have to run to the shelters, but then you've got people who are completely incapacitated or who are in the middle of giving birth. And I just want to know what inspired you to write this story.
Sure. So specifically at the start of the war, especially because I have moved on from primarily breaking news coverage, I was speaking with my editors and they're like, okay, I want you to focus on just like stories of humanity and things, again, that are a little bit more off the beaten path, I guess you might say. So I reached out to a friend of mine. I believe her husband is Australian, actually. And she brought up to me that she was not only expecting, but that she was in a group of expecting moms, and a handful of them were trying to figure out if they needed to change their birth plan. How long is this going to go on for? Do you think that, you know, the hospital that I'm supposed to give birth in is going to be good enough? And it was never a question about the facilities themselves, because we know that Israeli medicine really is great. But it was more a matter of, exactly, you're going to be in this position where not only are you bringing new life in, but yeah, you're not able to move. You are completely like out of commission, but you also need to be protected. A few moms, one who had given birth the first night of everything, who told me all about how, even though they were in a facility or the labor and delivery unit had been moved to a fortified space, would she have been able to go to a shelter? Would they have moved her to a shelter? And she just talked about how, you know, she had this epidural, so she couldn't move if she wanted to. And how, you know, everyone understands that, yes, this is obviously a clear and present danger, but the priority here is delivering these babies safely, because yeah, the baby is going to come out one way or another, and they need to make sure that regardless of the circumstances, that these babies are brought into the world in the best possible way, despite the worst conditions outside.
So giving birth in the best case scenario is volatile enough, let alone giving birth under siege or when rockets are flying exactly overhead is quite traumatizing. What were the challenges, though, that you faced when you were reporting on this particular angle?
That's a good question. Truly, like, I was very lucky with this story. I had, if one woman was not comfortable sharing, there were so many other expecting women or women who had recently given birth who were willing to speak. So I didn't really run into any problems there. However, giving birth can be very scary. I have never gone through that process myself. Labor and delivery, everything related to babies and, you know, growing a person inside of you and having to deliver them safely, that's all so personal. So finding a woman that is willing to not only talk about it openly, but also to be so vulnerable about her fears throughout the process, that was, in one way, it was difficult, but fortunately, it really wasn't that difficult to actually find.
Have any readers responded to the article at all? Just because it is a story of humanity, and I'm sure that a lot of people could relate or were in that same kind of position where they had such little time and they could probably draw a comparison to their own situation.
Less so readers, more I would like run into people in my community, and they would ask, or what have you written recently? And I would say that was one of the biggest ones. And they're like, oh, I saw that. It's on my list. Because again, you don't always look for, you know, the byline on the story. You're looking for the content of the story. So I've been at a number of meals where people have been like, oh, you know, I saw that article. I read it. It was very interesting. That was a really cool perspective. Also, I'm the granddaughter of an OBGYN. I still have people in my life that worked with him. So these were people back in the States who work in the field and kind of had to consider, what if a war broke out here and my whole situation changed? It was a lot of people kind of facing like, wow, I've never had to think about that. And that's reality for people in your world.
Joni, can you please set the scene for us? Where were the labor wards, and did you actually enter them whilst women were actively giving birth, or did you go there after and have a look at it? Explain to us how it all worked.
So because of the circumstances, no one was allowed into these wards other than women giving birth and their partners. I did interview one woman who was a single mom by choice, delivering her third baby, so it was just her. She didn't have the option of having anyone. So no one was allowed to enter. I just had to rely on asking hospital staff and the woman going through these cases to describe themselves.
And tell us where the wards were, because you've got the maternity ward, but obviously they had to change tact. So where did they go to?
They were essentially moved to like the basements and not necessarily garages, but yeah, these underground levels of all the hospitals. And again, not every hospital across Israel had that same resource. So there were certain hospitals that were, you know, not even options anymore. But yeah, the labor and delivery wards, as well as surgery wards, they were moved to basements of hospitals.
And were they
specifically fortified spaces?
I was going to ask you if they were fortified, if they were in car parks or something like that, that might be a bit more protected.
Yeah, I do believe that every renovation of Israeli hospitals recently, there's been some kind of effort to include a fortified space. I did speak to a couple of women who were friends with someone who had given birth at Be'er Sheva's Soroka Hospital about 2 hours before it was bombed. The mom and baby were okay because they were in this fortified space and no one was being moved out of it.
I wonder if this will inspire any other hospitals to fortify themselves in different ways should Israel get into the same kind of situation in the future. And there are certain wards where, as I said, people are incapacitated and unable to be mobile and to move very quickly and easily. Do you think that hospitals are rethinking their design?
If they aren't, then they should. People or spaces all over, they need to plan for the worst, regardless of social political situation is, because you truly never know when disaster could strike. And also, just like we were talking about surgery wards, that includes women who had to have C-sections. They were having C-sections next to someone who was having a lung surgery. I do think that this needs to be a lesson for the rest of the world, that you think it might not happen to you, and please God, let it not happen to you. But you do have to plan just in case. So every medical facility should have architects building hospitals, whether, you know, permanent or field hospitals. They should be planning as much as they possibly can for these scenarios.
Absolutely. And I just want to ask you more logistically, were women giving birth next to each other in these big car parks?
Yeah, separated by curtains. From what I was told, these women were separated. Their beds were next to each other, separated by curtains. So as one woman was giving birth, she could hear a woman, not necessarily in the bed next to her, but maybe a couple of beds down, also giving birth.
Yeah, and I've seen the pictures from the articles as well, and they look like they're in places that are just concrete, big, expansive spaces. So you could imagine the acoustics in that area with various different women giving birth in active labour all at the same time. Joni, last question. What do you think these stories reveal about Israeli society and its capacity for resilience during crises?
I think it just shows that, the worst things can happen to us or to any group of people, and life still has to go on around it. People are going through these hard times. People still have to go grocery shopping. People still have to get checkups. Things do have to move on regardless, and conflict isn't going to stop that. And also, if people plan their lives around pending peace in the Middle East, truly nothing would ever get done. So I think it just really shows that Israelis specifically have learned that these things happen, even if they shouldn't be normalized, they kind of are here. And everything has to have a plan B, a plan C, a plan Z. And we just kind of have to figure it out as we go along.
Joni Margulies, thank you so much for joining us on SBS Hebrew.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listen to SBS Shalom Australia whenever you like. Full programs, interviews, news and current affairs on demand. Visit sbs.com.au/Hebrew. SBS Shalom Australia. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.